you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Glory, glory, glory.
I want to magnify the name of the Lord. His name I will praise. For he has been so good and so kind to me. All of my day, when I was lost in darkness, he heard my plea and rescued me. Oh, and now I'll serve him all of my life till his face I see.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo.
Glory, 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 glory.
tonight. Something like Brother Bragg. Well, we're good to have Brother and Sister Bragg tonight. All right, have you. Pastored for years in, is it Campbellton?
Campbellsville.
Campbellsville, Kentucky. And they graced us with their presence tonight. You think you've been in Florida for a while, and you say you've been traveling a lot.
Yes.
For sure, glad you came to Little Rock, both of you. For sure, glad to have you. Praise God. But I just came in here tonight, and was working up in Searcy today, and finally good to have a day with no rain. And coming home to seeing the clouds breaking up and seeing some blue sky and a few sun rays coming in. And I felt like, hallelujah, the sun's going to shine again. I think that's just a short forecast. It will rain again, I think they say tomorrow. But I'll just take the break. Everywhere I'd stepped in this yard, it was just my feet would sink down and water would flood in my shoe. That's a nasty feeling, have cold water seeping in your shoe. Squish, the squishy sound, squish, squish, squish. But I thought I'd come in here and I felt like I was standing on a rock, hallelujah. You know, there's many, we say it different ways. Oh, we want to wade out into the water. Well, when you've been soggy all week, you're ready to get up on higher ground. When the sun's been beating on your back all week, you're ready to go wade out into the water. Either way, we want to feel the good, refreshing Holy Ghost. And I want to share it with you. I want to fill it with you. I come in here to worship with my brothers and my sisters, and I want it to get all over us. Hallelujah. We're living in definitely some different times in the world, and in what's going on in the United States, and what's going on even in the body of Christ. And if you don't watch it, I know if I don't, me not watching myself, I get caught up in what's going on. And it seems like the Lord is, I had to get still. Sometimes you got to get still to hear the still small voice of God. Because I wasn't very still. I was worried about this. And I was worried about that. Well, let me
read you a scripture real quick.
Praise the Lord.
That seems to be the tendency of all of us humans, is to worry about things we ought not be worried about. It's always one to, you know, Jesus in the 21st chapter of John, He's talking to Peter in the 15th verse on down, and he keeps asking Peter, "Do you love me more than any of these?" And he said, "Yes, you know us, I love thee." And he said, "Feed my lambs." He keeps asking him this. And he said, and in the 18th verse he says, I'd say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou wilt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. I'm in John 21:18-19. And when he has spoken this, he said, "Follow me." And Peter, turning and seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, said, "Lord," "Well, Lord, which is it that betrayeth thee?" He's talking about John. He's describing John without naming John. But it's Peter, when he turned and seeth John, he seeing him said, "Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do?" And Jesus said unto him, "If he will tarry till I come, what is it that to thee? Follow thou me. And as I thought, that is so human of Peter. Jesus gives him a great commandment, gives him instruction, pulls him in close to him, and is having a personal relationship with Peter right there. And Peter said, well, what about that guy? What's your will for him? I mean, this is a close confidant of Peter's. This is, I mean, I'm sure him and Peter were, they were different as night and day, but they were both on the inner circle of even the 12. And it was just like Jesus said, what about him? We're not talking about him, John. We're talking about you, Peter, me and you. I have a tendency to do that. I have a bad tendency. It's a fault of mine. I'm confessing my fault right here before you. When the Lord's dealing with me, I'm asking the Lord, well, what about Sister Julie? I know you want me to do this, but there's some things about her that I think you need to straighten out. Picking on you tonight.
You're on dangerous ground.
Wait a minute. Let me change that. Sorry, sister. What about Cindy? I know Cindy better. Lord, there's some things you can straighten that woman out about. Lord said, I ain't dealing with Cindy. I'm dealing with you. I'm not dealing with Nathan, Rachel, Andrew, Brother Smith, Sister Smith. I'm dealing with you. Don't worry about them. I'll worry about them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I come to find out, when it comes to leadership, Lord is dealing with my heart and said, you be the best husband. You be the husband that I've called you to be. You be the father I've called you to be. You be the son I've called you to be. You be the friend that I've called you to be. You are the light of the earth, the salt, and the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's my calling. You know, if we will all do what we're called to do, and that fits all of us. That didn't just fit me. That fits you too. But guess who's here? He's going to raise us up to lead this world. We can be part of the rule. That's part of ruling and reigning. It's not to have lordship over people. It's to lead people. To be the light. To have Christ fully indwelled in us where he's operating in us. I'm still Michael, but I'm not old Michael. I'm new Michael. The new man is operating. And all of a sudden I've become the leader of my home. If not, if I won't do it, then Lord may raise up one of my children to lead my home. He may raise up my wife. You know, that's why so many women are the spiritual leaders of their household. Because the man won't do it. thank God for God-fearing women who say, I am going to follow God whithersoever he goeth. Hallelujah. I feel an unction to get closer to him and not worry about, Lord, what about that guy? What about him? No, he don't want me worrying about him. Even Cindy, he doesn't want to say, Lord, what about Cindy? Look, you be the husband I have called you to be and love her like I'm loving you, and I'll deal with Cindy. I'm not casting off of my wife tonight. She's a good wife. Al said, you couldn't beat Cindy if you searched the world over. That's what Brother Al said. I said, I beat her every Saturday night to make sure she gets to church on time Sunday morning. Yeah, everybody knows that's true. Every once in a while, I end up with a black eye. I always tease, you know, Cindy. I was like, everybody loves Cindy. I always feel like everybody likes her better than they like me. I don't know why I feel that way. No, just kidding. I'm too sanguine to worry about that. But They have so many kind words to say about her all the time. I wonder about it. Yeah, so look, see? No respect from Sister D'Lo. But what a great admonition the Lord has called. He said, I will be a father unto you, and I will write my laws upon your heart. You know, this is not about behavior modification. That's what it used to be to me. That's why come a lot of you see in churches, they come into church, they follow all the rules and all the procedures, they dress accordingly, they're there every service, we've got them behaving, boy, we got them. But as soon as they leave, they say, man, them people, they was just worse off than before they come. And I've heard scriptures about, you know, seven times worse, and the change wasn't in their heart. We just they just had their behavior modified. You know, if you ever study psychology, they tell you about Pavlov's dogs. This is one of the things they tell you about, where he went and fed his dogs, and then he, ding, hit a bell. And then he got to where he dinged the bell and feed the dogs, and then he could just go in there and ring the bell, and they'd start salivating. They conditioned them. When they heard the bell ring, it was time to eat, and they got ready. And he could do it at different times of day. As long as he rang that bell, they thought they were ready to eat. He modified their behavior. But, you know, he found out if he'd wait 6 months, he can go in and ding the bell. If he went 6 months without dinging the bell and them eating, then they would quit salivating because the behavior wasn't reinforced. And behavior modify but with fear tactics and manipulation and all those things. But I'm telling you, what will change you from the inside out is the covering of Jesus Christ, his indwelling in you. When you submit your life to him and you let his Holy Ghost fill your life and you start following the word of God, then a change starts taking place. And then when you see a person backslide, it's from that point, it's a little bit at a time, not all of a sudden they just go berserk on you. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm in me. I'm looking, Lord, I've got problems. I've still got a bad temper. I'm just going to name one of them, because that's the one y'all probably see a lot. Y'all know it anyway. I can get a good man. What are you waving at over there, Brooklyn? You got a bad temper too? Is that what it is? She's not looking at me now. She raised her hand like she was in on this. She is in on it, by the way. She's going to have to overcome the same nature I've got to overcome. But I'm not going to worry about her. I've got a bad temper, Lord. I need help with it. But you can help me with it. You can change me. You can make me what I ought to be. Hallelujah. What a glorious hope. So I want to, I admonish you. You all you in here have been raised, have been in the gospel a good while. The Lord's changing you. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the goal. Knowing that this work that he's doing, it's his work. I'm a personal preacher. I don't preach much to the body or about the body. I talk about me and I talk about you, because that's just where I'm at. I'm down to me. That's the level I'm on. It's me and you, Brother Tally. If this whole world goes to pot and there's nobody following Jesus, me and you got to follow him. That's the vision I have. It's me and you. It's me, and I'm taking you with me. I got to let it out. Hallelujah. But that everybody's got a different calling. I know that. Somebody can bring it down to a simpler level than that. And I love every gift. And I want to hear more of what God's doing in y'all's life. That's why I love it when we have testimonies. Where I hear that God has done something for you. Every day something supernatural is happening in this church. A miracle has happened. And I love hearing about it. And I'm glad that to be a part of this. Hallelujah. Well, the rest of the service is take your liberty. I was going to take a prayer request, but I think I'll take it up toward the end of service. Well, let's let the Lord lead y'all. Hallelujah.
Praise. Praise.
The way for me, I want to kind of like a fleece or something, I don't know. But anyway, like you said, you know, God was always doing something for everybody. And I used to be the biggest one about saying, I want to brag on God tonight. And you know, just because I quit getting up doesn't mean that he quit doing stuff for me. It's just that we had so many more people that I want to listen to and enjoy your testimony, and it really has helped me a lot hearing everybody's what God's done for them. And so I thought, okay, well, but I've just had to say something recent that happened. But I'll go back when Sunday night, I think everybody was talking about different things like that, and it brought my memory, just like Sister Crow had said, brought her memory to something that happened to her. Well, last year, I think it was last minister's meeting that I was working, and I promised Sister Ann that I would help with breakfast, and then I thought, okay, I totally forgot, you know, I want to go ahead and stay later on and help out in any other way. And I thought, this one day only, there's the house that I do that I've done for like 10 years, and I thought, well, surely she'll be understanding. And sure enough, I went and I called her and told her, and she said, that's fine, you know. I thought, well, you know, Lord, I'm giving this up for you to do work in church. Well, next week when I went on Wednesday, as I was leaving, the man of the house never hardly is there. He does work through the house, but okay, right now I'm sorry. I feel kind of out of it. I have been kind of sick. He come to me as I was leaving, and he said, Linda, here. He goes, I know you've been going through a lot, and I just want to give you this. And I said, oh, Kevin, you don't have to. And, you know, he says, Janice wanted me to give you your regular pay and, you know, wanted to give you a little extra. When I got in the car, I looked, and it was $100 because I usually get paid $50. So right there showed me that you know what I'm saying? He gave it back to me because I missed it, but he gave, no. No. He doubled it because he gave me the check and $100 cash. So therefore, he doubled it. And so I hear I didn't really miss it. And so then that Wednesday night, when Brother Smith was talking, I think, about getting an offering for them to go to the Dominican, I had a $20 bill and a $1 bill. And I grabbed the $1 bill because, as y'all know, you know, Stan hasn't worked in 8 weeks because of his illness, and I'm the only one working, and I don't make that much. And so I thought that 20 is like $500 to me right now. And so I thought, I'll give this one. And I had it in my hand, but something that's never happened to me before said, give the 20. And I it hurt. I put the dollar back and I grabbed the 20. And when the offering played, I was like, hurry up, come over here before I change, put it back, you know. And so I finally put the $20 bill in the plate and forgot about it, you know. And I thought, oh, well, Lord, you know, I want to be obedient to you. That's you. Because I've never had that happen before. Why would, you know, I have a voice that tells me that when I know that I need that 20 for gas or whatever, you know. And, Sunday night, he didn't double it. He quadrupled it. Someone handed me a $100 bill. And I thought, God, and then I didn't even think anything about it till on my way home, I was like, that is four times. You know, last time was twice as much. This time is four times as much because I listened to him. And I don't want to. And my faith, you know, keeps growing. And you know, it's hard to imagine that we are actually eating and paying our mortgage with $150 a week. Think about it. That's what I make right now. But yet, God has provided people to help us. And I'm so thankful, so thankful. I'm sorry, I got to sit down. But I promised God that I wouldn't complain. And I just want to make it. I want to go on, no matter who goes, who doesn't go in my family. I want to go on. I want to keep my eyes on the goal. And I want to stay faithful. And Friday's my last day to work at the funeral home. I only work 2 hours every morning because that's all I can handle right now as far as my physical body. My leg gives out on me and I fall, and I didn't want to fall just now. And it's getting worse. And can't do anything unless I do surgery, and I don't want to do surgery. Well, I wasn't worried about it. I mean, I'm not. But I've already got three calls, actually. They want me to translate, and I thought, you know, I know that's God. It's like when he closes the door, he opens the window. And so now I'm going to be doing what I've always wanted to do, but I always thought you had to have a degree to be a translator. I mean, I know that's my language, but I had heard that before that in certain areas you do, but I'm going to be doing it for a doctor periodically, and then for this other company. It's not a job where I have to sit in for hours or stand up, you know. I can even work from home. So that way, if I feel sick, you know, I can lay down or whatever. But, you know, there's no way for me to get discouraged or depressed. There's no reason for me to do that. And today I've been, you know, I was feeling really, oh my goodness, I was so hurting everywhere, and I can't take the drug. I have so many drugs, I can't take them. If I take them, I can't drive. I can't, function. I'm already loony as it is, and I get loonier when I take them. And it's like, oh my God, who am I? Where am I? You know? I have a cabinet that looks like the walk-in drugstore there. I lost my thought again. And I didn't even take a drug. But, I'm looking forward to not really working where I have to punch a clock time card and then be able to, if I'm hurting, at least take one on the weekend or Friday night for Saturday, because I don't want to be like that on Sunday. But anyway, today, I was hurting so bad, and then as church got closer, I was like, oh, and I got, something else happening to me, and then I thought, Lord, you know I don't like to miss church unless I'm almost dying, and I don't think I'm dying, so please give me the strength, let me go, please, I want to be there. I want to praise your name, and I want to give you glory and brag on you. And he did. He started making me feel a little better. And I mean, I don't feel, 100% better, but I'm here. I drove, and I made it here, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for each one of you, for your testimonies that really have touched my life. And it's good to see Brother and Sister Braggs. I've known him for years and years, and telling him my age, because I've been here 42 years. So anyways, I just want to, like I said, praise his name and just thank him every day.
but it's so pleasant to be here, to see each one that we used to worship with years ago. And Brother Meininger just told me who this young lady was, that said she was glad to see Brother and Sister Bragg. I believe one time we prayed for her, Brother Tucker and I. She fell. Are you the one that fell and busted your knee? And we thought we was going to have to, or they were hollering, call the doctor or something, call the ambulance. And we went out and prayed for her, and God raised her up right there. Touched her leg, and she had no more problems. This was, what'd you say, 40 years ago? But it's so good to be here and to feel what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. And these songs that we sang just thrill my soul. The words so rich and full. I was reminded in a couple of them, just different little phrases, where he lifted me up and set me free. And you know, that's been a reality in my life. When I was about 26 years old, I was a confirmed alcoholic. I carried it to in my thermos to my job. And when the rest of the people were taking a coffee break, I was taking a break. But I was very much in trouble, and my health was failing me, and the Lord found me sitting under a tree in Minerals Wells, Texas, about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and rescued me. That was 1961. And immediately he lifted me up and he set me free. I thought of that tonight as we were singing these courses, these songs we were singing. And how could I help but praise him when I think about these things? Because I was had already had to go to the doctor, been told that, and had two-thirds of my stomach removed, and told that if I didn't quit drinking that I would be dead within 6 months. But I couldn't control it. I just had to have it. And after my initial encounter with the Lord that night or that morning, I never had to have it after that. I tried it one time, and I didn't get back on it, but I did try it. And I was on my way after, this was sometime later, I was managing a supply store, oil well supply store in Jacksboro, Texas. And the owner of the supply store was an alcoholic. And he came in one afternoon and brought a fifth of whiskey and put it up on a little shelf in the bathroom. And I went in there a little while later and saw it and tried it. Got me a big slug of it. And immediately then I went to the telephone and I called my wife and I said, come and drive me. I had a family car. I said, come and drive me. Not a family car, I'm sorry. A company car that the company furnished me there. I said, come and drive me. I want to go get me a bottle. And she began to cry and tell me no. Said, after that, as good as the Lord's been to us, you're not going to do this, surely. And I said, I've stood about all I can stand. I've got to have a drink. And so she said, well, I'm coming, but I'm not drinking with you. And so after a while, she came, and just as she pulled in, I ran out of there and locked up the store. and wouldn't even let her drive. I got in and took off like a bat out of Hades. And got about halfway out there, and the Lord spake to me. Brother Tally came right into the car. The Spirit of the Lord came right into that car and pointed out to me and said, if you'll turn around, I'll help you. But if you go this way, if you go this direction, you'll die drunk. And I drove about a half a mile and made a round sweep and went back. From that day to this, God is my judge. From that day to this, I have never desired another drink.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Never.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Never. And I had to have it before then. I was thinking, someone said something about us being the light of the world. If ever there was a time that the world needs a light, it's today, isn't it? Because darkness is everywhere, gross darkness. But as someone already said, the Lord's got it in under control. And our confidence is in Him tonight. And the same God that delivered me back in 1961 can deliver you tonight if you need deliverance. I thought as the sister was talking about her problem with her strength abating and leaving from her. God can take care of that. God can take care of that.
Amen.
After the Lord saved me, and this was several months later, having the same job, I got so I had to close the store up and go to a doctor and get him to give me morphine and shots because I had migraine headaches that I had because of the way I had treated my body. And we had a cottage prayer meeting. After I had been to the clinic one day, they'd give me all the morphine they would give me and sent me home, and I was lying across the bed, just wallowing there like, you know, someone in torment. And finally, I went to sleep, and when I woke up, the wife told me, says, there's a cottage prayer meeting tonight. Said, let's go, let's go. And so I said, all right. And we went to that cottage prayer meeting, and my headache started coming back. And there was about six people in that cottage prayer meeting. They sat me down in a cane bottom chair, and they just stacked their hands up on top of my head and prayed. God delivered me from migraine headaches. You know, there's nothing too big or too small for God to take care of. He's able to do what He wants to do, when He wants to, and where and who He wants to with it. So my faith is in Him tonight. My confidence is in Him. And I just wanted to say those things. I thought as the service was progressing, John, I think it was, and little John said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we might be called the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Nothing that I've done was caused me to deserve God's own Son. But He saved me. He helped me. He rescued me. And I'm so thankful for Him tonight. And to feel this wonderful covering that we feel here, and to know that you go on with those scriptures there in 3 John. He says, now it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but said we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And we have this hope tonight that we can be like Him one day and not have problems with our temper.
Right.
And I think it's Peter, isn't it, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, that tells us how we can do that. He says to add to our faith. He was talking to people of like precious faith there. And he said to add to our faith virtue. You know what virtue is? Virtue is a clean living, clean up job. And to virtue, knowledge. And if there's a people, I told someone just recently, we're a people that have sought after knowledge more than any people I know in the earth today. It's been this people that have sought after knowledge. So add to we've added to our lives, to our precious faith. And if we'll do this, and you young people, I thought this is a marvelous group of people here tonight. The last time I was here, they wasn't very near this many. And I know this is a Wednesday night, and you probably have more on Sunday, probably at twice as many. Most churches are that way. But if we'll go through this course that the Lord has laid out for us, say, we can be reign and rule with Him, elder. We can reign and rule with the Christ.
Yes.
For 1,000 years. And did you know He's judging now? He's making a choice right now? Well, sure He is.
Yeah.
I believe the Lord is setting the stage for His coming. I personally believe that. Don't believe it'll be as long as most people think it will be. I heard just recently on TV where they said it would be, what was it, 2056? I think it was that Nostradamus or whatever his name is had predicted, and then some other smart aleck. But anyhow, had predicted the same thing, and so they said it had to be true because the two agreed. I don't agree with that. I think the Lord's going to be here before, come for His church before 2056. Amen. So that's just my personal feeling. But if we can go through this course by adding to our faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, we won't be flying off the handle. We won't be losing our temperance. If we'll do what the Lord, what Peter told us to do there, and then add to temperance, patience, wasn't it? And patience, godliness, godly brotherly kindness, charity. Thank God. And he tells us, Brother Paul Fulton, he tells us that if these things be in you and abound,
right,
if that's what we're made out of, if that's what we got to, if that's what's on our tree, if that's the fruit that's hanging on our tree, praise God, then the Bible said we shall never fall. Never fall. Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Yes.
Praise God. And then I believe that. How many of you believe the Word of God? I'm a believer. I believe that I can do that. I can accomplish that before the Lord. And as we've been taught many years ago, I didn't believe in works, really, before I came to you people. Before I met Brother Tucker here in 1966, I didn't really believe that. I thought Jesus paid it all. And I didn't know that that faith without works is dead. But faith, the Bible, James said, didn't he? James said that faith without works is dead. So we've got a job to do, but we can qualify, praise God, to be one of those that can reign and rule with Christ down through the 1,000 years. And then, of course, throughout eternity. Praise God. So my confidence is in the Lord tonight, and my appreciation. Everything, we sang a little chorus once in a while. I owe my life to Him. Well, I actually owe my physical life to Him. He saved me when I was dying, on my way to an early grave. And then spiritually, being born again, thank God, of something that's everlasting. And then the Bible promises, thank God, that we can live and not die. I believe that a man could live such a provable life under the Lord that he can actually move out. When death strikes this, when we take our last breath, I believe the soul can move out alive. And be one of those then when the Lord comes that He'll bring with Him. Praise God. These are just some promises that just are just coming to me. I believe, and I would like to just encourage you tonight is to trust the Lord and with all your heart, with all your strength. Young man came to Jesus and said, Lord, what is the greatest of the commandments? We were talking about this early on, Brother Fulton and I, and we was talking about the greatest. He said it wasn't the doctrine of resurrections. It wasn't the greatest commandment wasn't to honor your father and mother. That wasn't the greatest commandment. He said the greatest and the first is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Amen. Now he said the second is likened unto that. Say, this is a wonderful thing that we're in tonight, brother. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. Say, if you knew, if everyone was living by the golden rule tonight, what a world we would be living in. That's the way it's going to be in the new earth, isn't it? It's do unto the neighbor, unto your neighbor, as you have, as your neighbor does unto you. Is that the way it is? No, it isn't. No. It's a wonderful thing, amen, when you begin to think about how that the Lord has placed us and the promises he's given to us and what we have been offered. So I'm appreciative of just being here in Little Rock once again and feeling this wonderful covering that we feel, and wanting to go on and reach that time. We hear so much, I think, about many times now, that we got a new president, and everything he does, he's damned if he does or damned if he don't, and nobody can seem to appreciate what he's doing. But I love the man. You know why? Because I think God put him there, and I love what God loves and what God wants. I want it to be okay, and so... I think that we're right where God wants us tonight, and it seems like Brother Crow and I were talking about this a little earlier. It seems like we might be sitting on a powder keg just any time it could all blow up in our face. But say, the Lord knows what he's doing, doesn't he? And he's got everything in control. Daniel said he has his ways in the affairs of men. He puts in and takes out and raises up and lowers whomsoever he will. Praise God. So I'm glad tonight to be serving a God that is, as the song as we sang earlier, that's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Praise God. So it's so good to know with, that, as Peter said, I think it's in 3 Peter, the 2nd chapter, where he said that the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and then the elements would melt with a fervent heat. Why, we know what that is. We know that's not the good things that God made and looked on and said is good and very good. It's not the elements up there. It's not the heavenly elements that's going to pass. No, but it's the things that are dissolving, and we can see them more or less the social element and the medical element and religious elements. All these things are going to pass away. But thank God the good word of God is not going to pass away. It's going to abide forever. So that's what we want to get in our makeup, get our lives built around that and centered around the good word of God. Amen. So God bless your heart tonight. I didn't come and drive down to Little Rock to get to preach to you, but I came to feel your spirit and to get to say hello to you once again and be a part of what you're doing here. So God bless your heart.
Thank you. Everybody knows this song. I don't know why he picked it, but I guess it's part of his message. I heard he rescued me in it. So, on a stormy sea of sin, I was sinking. There you go. Never to rise again.
Hold on.
Though the wind and her waves round me crashing had battered and tore me within, Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin's troubled sea. Jesus rescued me, for new life I can see. Jesus reached out his hand and he rescued me. I could feel death all around me as I struggle for my life. I could see that death angel waiting to claim me for his prize. But in my hour of desperation, you see I almost lost my mind, but somehow I cried, Lord Jesus, and he saved me just in time. Jesus rescued me. Oh, Jesus rescued. Yes, he rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin's troubled sea. Jesus rescued. Yes, he rescued me. For new life I can see. Jesus reached out. Yes, he reached out his hand, and he rescued me. I could feel death all around me as I struggled for my life. I could see that death angel waiting to claim me for his prize. But in my hour of desperation, you see, I almost lost my mind, but somehow I cried, Lord Jesus, and he saved me just in time. Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued. Yes, he rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin's troubled sea. Jesus rescued me. For new life I can see. Jesus reached out. He reached out his hand, and he rescued me. On a stormy sea of sin I was sinking. Never, never to rise, rise again. Though the wind and her waves round me crashing, had battered and tore me within. Jesus rest, He rescued me. Jesus rest, He rescued me from the cold, cold dark waters of sin's troubled sea. Jesus rescued me for new life I can see. Jesus reached out, He reached out His hand, and He rescued me.
Yeah.
I could feel death all around me as I struggled for my life. I could see that death angel waiting to claim me for His prize. But in my hour of desperation, you see I almost lost my mind. But somehow I cried, Lord Jesus, and He saved me just in time.
Jesus
rescued me. Jesus rescued, He rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin. Waiting to claim me for His prize. But in my hour of desperation, you see I almost lost my mind. But somehow I cried, Lord Jesus, and He saved me just in time. Jesus rescued, He rescued me. Jesus rescued me from the cold, dark waters.
new life I can see. Jesus reached out, he reached out his hand, and he rescued me.
Jesus.
Reached out, he reached out his hand, and he rescued me. Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin. Troubled sea, Jesus rescued me. For new life I can see. Jesus reached out, he reached down his hand, and he rescued me.